Praise God. You're listening to Kingdom Concepts, Internet and Radio Broadcast Ministry. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Hallelujah. We're having a wonderful day today, and I want to send out blessings to all of the listeners and all around the world, and it's so exciting to know that you're in all the different countries listening, and I just pray that God will continue to bless you and that he will protect you and that he will give you comfort and guidance and in your lives and in your situations, and that he will continue to reveal himself to you as the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen, that he will give you his healing power and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for the many, many blessings that you bestow on us that we know about and that the ones that we don't know about, dear Lord. And we ask that you would cleanse us, Lord God, from all of our unrighteousness and our unholiness, all of the things that we do, that we know about, and the things that we don't know about, Lord God, that that does not honor you, Lord, and that hurts your heart to see us in sin, Lord God, to see us separated from you. And we just pray that you keep us from evil and that you keep us under the protection of your wings, in your secret places, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to all the people on Podomatic.com. That's KingdomMinistries1.podomatic.com. All of the people on Facebook. All of the people on iTunes. Hallelujah. And all of the listeners in Syracuse, Inspirational Radio, 1540 AM. Blessings. Well, yesterday we were in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we got through to around verse 10. And we talked about the children obeying their parents, and the promise that came along with that, you know, which was living long on the earth, and that it might be well with you. And it talked about the fathers not provoking your children to wrath and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we talked about the servants obeying your masters and with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, and not being man pleasers, and as reflecting Christ in the things that we do, even concerning our masters. And then we talked about how the masters, even though you have servants, you have a master too, and your master is the same master as the servant's master, which is God. He is the higher power, and we are all to submit to the higher powers. And that brought us up into around verse 10, where we started to talk about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we got into talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of salvation through the name of Jesus Christ is where we ended up. And I believe I was still going when my time ran out. Hallelujah. But the message was, at the end of the program, the message was that we can turn to Jesus Christ, and that he is Savior, and he has the power to lift us up out of those dark places. He has the power to take our lives and change them around and make them meaningful and mold them into something that is pleasing in God's sight. If we will just submit to Him, if we will just repent of our sins, which means to turn away from those things and to turn, and we turn towards God, if we humble ourselves and walk towards Him, if we look to His Word and study His Word and meditate on His Word and then do His Word, we, God is faithful and He will continue. Once we have given our lives over to Him, He will continue to do that good work in us. And it's not that we have to be perfect and we have to do this or that. What we do is we come to the Lord and we lay it down at His feet. We lay it down at the cross, so to speak. In other words, we come and we acknowledge our imperfections. And we let the Lord know that we have a desire to turn away from those things and a desire to live a life in the light and in the love of God. And then we trust that Jesus Christ is able to do the rest, that He is able to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and to that allows us to have that power, that we can be strong in the power of God, that we can hold fast to that faith, that He will change those things in our lives, and that through the reading of the Word and the meditation of the Word and seeking understanding, that we can know the things that we have to do to please God and know the promises that are available to us, so that we can believe for them, so that we can hold on to them, so that we can ask for them, so that we can live for them, and then see the change take place in our lives through the power of God, through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Some people might ask, they might say, well, why do you talk about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ? What does that have to do with anything? A lot of people die. But there's a law that God put into effect when man first fell. In other words, when man first transgressed or sinned or broke the law of God. And that started in the Garden of Eden, when God had created a perfect environment for man. And God was God. Man did not set up other gods. Man did not have other rulers. And man did not have other authorities. Man was directly under God and had direct relationship with God. And God gave man dominion in the garden. And He made the environment perfect for that man. And He created a helper for the man, which was a woman. And He made the woman from the man. And they dwelled in peace and in light and in love in the garden. And everything was provided for them, and God gave them a purpose, and that was to tend the garden and to work with in the garden and to fellowship with God. So that was man's original purpose. Originally had a relationship, or what we might call fellowship with God. And God spoke to man, and man spoke to God. And when God told them that you can have everything in the garden, I've created everything for you, every herb, all the animals, everything in the garden He created for you, and you can partake of everything, but there's one thing that God said man should not do, and that was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man decided that that's what he was going to do. Anyway, that was the transgression, that was the sin. He disobeyed God's commandment. He went against the structure that God had set for man. And God knew already what was contained in that act of disobedience. He knew that the separation would come in, that there would be a wall in between God and man. It would taint their relationship if the man partook of that tree, which had the fruit. The tree bore the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So once the man started to have that knowledge, once he partook of that, the evil entered in. And God had created that perfect environment, and so the evil was not, the man partook of that fruit, and the evil is what caused the separation between the relationship and the man and the man and God. God set the man out, and he set a law. When he put the man out of the garden, he clothed him with skins. And to cover that man's transgression, to cover that man's, he had to shed blood. And so he set the law that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So that is the law that still stands now, is that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That law has not changed. So when man transgresses against God's law, blood is required for the forgiveness of those sins. As time after the fall of man, which was the Garden of Eden, which we just talked about, after that fall, the Lord put in ceremonial processes for man to have his sins rolled back for a time. And he did this through an order that he set up. He gave the law to the people through Moses. He gave his laws to the people, and so the people, he set up priests, and he set up an order, a hierarchy, a system, a kingdom, if you will, a order for the people to go by, and it was the God and then the priest. And the priest would offer, the people would bring animals to be sacrificed, and the priest would slaughter these animals and shed their blood. And they had different types of sacrifices for different things and different ceremonies for different sacrifices. Sometimes they would slaughter an animal and wave the animal, and the blood would go out and cover the people. Well, this issue of blood is what brings us to Christ. Christ, when he came, he said he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. The law of God still stands, but it is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So we can come to Jesus Christ because he came from God. He lived a perfect life without sin. Now the law that God has in place is that when a man sins, he must die. All men die. But our souls live on. Okay, so when we sin, the only way that we can have our sins forgiven is to have blood shed. Blood has to be shed for our sins. Well, unless, of, and then, we're, but who can go through life with without sinning? Who a perfect? He was sent from God through Mary. He was God with us, which we can talk about it another time, but he was actually God with us. He was Emmanuel. He was the God-man. And so he lived a perfect, sinless life and no man could do. So by him doing that, he reversed the law of sin and death because he died. His blood was shed. So now you have a situation to where the law of sin and death was in debt to God. God, in other words, God took it captive. So anyone that accepts the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, and when I say sacrifice, I mean it's like he came to give his life. He came to lay down his life the same way that the priest used to take the sacrifices of the animals and kill for the people. He was the same thing. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. The same way that the people used to sacrifice lambs and shed their blood for their sins, Jesus Christ was sacrificed. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter for the sins of anyone that would accept him. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Through Mary, the Spirit of God was manifested in through Mary in Jesus Christ. And he was sent for one purpose, and that was to shed his blood for the sins of the world. So that now there's no more need to shed the blood of lambs and goats. And now we have one sacrifice once and for all. And God provided that so that anyone that would accept Jesus Christ is covered. That's what you call redemption. He is taking us back from captivity of sin. But you have to accept it. You have to want it. So the option is there. Jesus Christ has already done it. But you must confess and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose. And he has died and he has risen for your sins. He didn't die and just lay in the grave. He died, they put him in the grave, and he rose again, and he ascended to heaven to the right hand of the Father, which is God. And so the sacrifice has been made once and for all, and the power is there, the opportunity is there. Now the question is, will you accept it? Will you receive it? Amen. Amen. And back to Ephesians chapter 6, we're down in verse 12 now. And let's back up to 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there's your enemy, the devil. And he doesn't want you to accept that sacrifice. He doesn't want you to realize this. He wants to keep you captive, and he wants you to have the same fate as him, which is a lake of burning fire with brimstone. He wants your soul to dwell eternally with him in darkness and separation from God. Amen. He doesn't want you to come back into that right fellowship and have purpose for your life. He wants you to use your life for destruction, and he wants you to be a force of darkness in this world. He wants you to feed in to his purpose, but God has a purpose for your life too, and it's your choice of whether you want that for yourself or not. So verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, right here, the scripture is telling you, we wrestle. And when you're wrestling, what are you doing? It's a contest. Someone in a wrestling match, one person is trying to gain advantage over the other person. One person is trying to pin the other person down and keep them in that spot for a certain period of time or whatever. So when we're wrestling against these spiritual forces, and we have an enemy that is wrestling with us, and he wants to pin us down. And the scripture has told us, well, you take on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to fight that fight. It says to be strong in the power of God's might so that you can fight that fight. He didn't say that you were going to get come to Christ and you were going to become perfect. He said to put on your armor because now you're going to be in a fight. See, because naturally when you don't know it, you're pinned or you're wrestling and you don't know you're in a wrestling mat, and if somebody's going to wrestle you, they walk up to you and they throw you down and they pin you right away. You're done. That's it. But when you know you're in a wrestling match and you see a person approaching, you put up your guard. You start to use evasive movements and offensive tactics. You use whatever you can to gain the advantage. You use what you have to fight the fight. And so this is what we're being taught. And we're being taught that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's something much bigger. The scripture says that we're wrestling against principalities. Principalities, what is that? That's something that has preeminence, something that comes first. We're wrestling for position. We're wrestling to prove what has authority in our lives, what has the priority in our lives, what will gain control in our lives, and it's our job to make that choice. It's our privilege to make that choice. God is good, and he loves us, and he gives us a choice. But it's not going to come without a price. Jesus Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. He said that we have to deny ourselves. He said if we love anything more than him, we're not worthy of him. Because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a wrestling match. Because the distractions are out here. The temptations are out here. That pull to do these things that we know we shouldn't do, they're right inside of us each and every day. When we wake up, when we lay down, when we go through life, we have that inside of us. We have the knowledge of good and evil inside of us already. And we can turn on a dime. We can make the choice when we want to. But the problem is that we still have to answer to God for everything that we say and do. So, we cannot stand on our own merits because we're imperfect people. We have a sinful nature. We have all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have broken a commandment. And just because we did it years ago, oh, well, yeah, I stole something once when I was little, or, you know, I just stole something before, you know, but I've changed. I don't steal. I told a lie before, but you know what? I don't lie anymore. You know, I've turned over a new leaf, and I don't lie anymore. Well, you know what? Does that matter to God? Because you decided to be good and change and not lie again? You still lied that one time. Have you answered for that? Have you made restitution with God for that? Have you made that right with God? What was your deal? So, if someone's guilty of a crime, it doesn't make any difference if they go move away. If I steal a car, and the people are looking for me, the authorities are looking for me for stealing the car, and I go away, and they never catch me. I come back 5 years later and the judge picks me up. The law picks me up, takes me before the judge, and I tell the judge, oh, well, that was 5 years ago. I haven't stolen another car since then, and I don't steal cars anymore. Is he going to let you go? You know, so God is much more righteous and much more perfect. Hallelujah. Well, I'm running out of time, and we're just going to wind down, and I'm going to just read this verse 12. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hallelujah. Amen. That is the truth. That is the truth. You know, the scripture said that we have to obey our masters, and we have to obey God. Well, our masters are no different. They have to obey God also. But it looks like nowadays, you know, with the separation of church and state and all of that, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, how can you separate God and put God out and then be godly? Hallelujah. Anyway, come to the end of our time, and I just want to again remind you that you can listen to Kingdom Concepts on kingdomministries1.podomatic.com. You can catch us on Facebook. You can catch us on iTunes. And most of all, every Thursday from 4 to 4:30, and Fridays from 1:30 to 2 on 15WSIV1540.com and on 1540 AM in Syracuse, New York. Praise God. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. God bless you.